It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're on Jethro Country with a Twist. Man, it's good to be here. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits of being on Jethro. There's a couple of them sitting right in front of me. We've got Conrad, who is our producer, works at a fair rate, so we're able to keep him happy. And then sitting beside me today, Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical. He's up at deer camp already. You know, it's bow season. And some people have already got their deer. Barbecue Bob is. And one of those guys that got a really nice buck sitting beside me, the master of meat. The board of directors, the one and only Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here, Job.
Man, it is really good to be here. I'm so glad that you are. Thanks for making time. I know this is a busy time of year for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Along with, just getting things ready for guys to take tailgating or take hunting with them. But we also turn venison into sausages for you. So
yeah.
If you got boneless meat, you don't know what to do with, bring it in. We'll take care of that for you.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute because you've got a dandy, I'll call it a 10 point. Your taxidermist called it a 9 point, but we'll get into that in a minute. That's just debatable. The horns don't eat anyway, but they'll look really nice on the camp wall.
Oh, absolutely, and it's always good just to have a drink and just compare drinks against the horns, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. Have I had four or five right on that side? Right. But anyway, well, hey, I went to a bow camp last week, and if you're a first-time listener, you'll know that I'm not an avid hunter. I enjoy being out in the woods, but what I really enjoy doing is cooking for my buddies. So I went down to Shartucky, where I grew up, Charlotte, just a little bit south of Lansing, had a bow camp. One of my buddy's sons got a really nice 10 down there as well during camp. But I went down there to grill, and I ran into a guy here in Grand Rapids. His name is Jeff Botroff, and Jeff is owns a company called Cutlerville Grills, and we got Jeff on the live line right now. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Randy. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Man, it's good to hear your voice. So, Jeff, I'm gonna tell everybody what you did for me. So I'm at going out to lunch. I reel into a parking lot in a restaurant, and I get out of my car, and in comes Jeff beside me in his pickup truck, and he's got two grills in the back of his truck. So immediately I'm gravitating to this guy, right? He's my kind of man. He's a grilling guy. Well, these grills are unique. And Jeff, tell us about the two grills you had in the back of your truck.
Well, the two grills that I had in my truck, and I have them for sale and for rent, are all steel grills. They're almost life size. One of them is a bull and another one is a pig. And these grills, you can smoke with them and just grill on them also.
Yeah, so Jeff, I get talking to Jeff, and so we go into the restaurant. We have a beer and a really good French dip sandwich from our friends at Brands. And so we're sitting there, and I tell him what I do, and we're BSing, and he's like, well, you should take one of these. And I'm like, I've got the right place to do that. So Jeff loaned me one of these grills, but what he's not telling you is he's got them on trailers, and you can rent these things from him for a very reasonable price. Jeff, how does anybody get a hold of you if they want to rent this bull on this trailer? And describe the trailer to me.
The trailers, the two different ones, they're like a 5x10 trailer with the grills are mounted right on them. And there's a built-in serving bar that is a live edge cherry slab of wood.
Beautiful.
That is the bar side of it. And they're mounted right on the trailer. They're permanent. You can drag them down the highway. They've got lights on them. They're relatively light, you know, as far as they're not, you don't need a pickup truck to pull them with. You can pull them behind a car even.
Yep, that's what I did, Jeff. I pulled it behind my GMC Acadia that I took down there, and I bet I got 20 honks when I was driving down the highway with people giving me the thumbs up as they passed me. But, Jeff, how can they rent one of these from you?
Well, they could call me at 616-304-2867. I don't really have them on a website right now.
That's all right.
I have them on, I've got a website for my antique shop, and I'm not all that high-tech computer savvy, so it's not easy for me to create the site.
Well, here's the deal. We're going to have them put on the Grilling Guys website. That's thegrillingguys.com. We'll post them on the Facebook. I got some pictures of me grilling on these things. They were a huge hit, Jeff, and I just wanted to give you a shout-out. That's Cutlerville Grills, area code 616-304-2867. Give Jeff a call, because I'm telling you what, this is a conversation starter when you roll in with one of these. And my buddies were like, what the hell, Jop? You had to come up with something new again. And I'm like, yep, every year, brother. That's the way it's going to be. But anyway, hey, Jeff, thanks. We appreciate your time. And Mr. Sobey's got a question for you here.
Hey, Jeff, Tim Sobey here. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but just an offer for you. Bring one of those over to our shop some Saturday. I'll provide the meats. You grill them up. People can see what they look like. I saw the picture, and they are really bad to the bone. Those are really cool looking. So I think if people saw them in action, they would love to rent one. I know I would myself.
That'd be great. I would love to do that for you. You and I will have to get together off air and set something up and pick a weekend, and we'll make it happen.
Very good. Jeff, once again, thanks again for letting me use the grill. My buddies loved it. I got several of them pick up your information while I was there, so hopefully we can help you grow this thing. But what a cool thing. Just a great novelty item if you're tailgating or having parties in your backyard. So take care, brother, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Randy. You guys all have a good day now.
All right, you too. Yeah, Tim, that's a great idea. Thank you for doing that for Jeff, because he's a retired guy, and he goes down to Texas and he imports these things. They come out of Mexico, but I'm telling you, they're all double-walled. It isn't going to burn out. It's heavy steel grates in it, and they're just a really cool grill.
And you said in copper.
Right. That's on the exterior. That's the exterior. They're right. Copper-colored, and they're all riveted.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And they're going to get patina as time goes.
Right.
And I couldn't even imagine what it looked like until you showed me the picture on his pamphlet, right?
Right.
Those things are so cool. So I know that's one of those, they're a head turner. I think if people could see what it is, they'll be flocking to rent one.
Yeah, I had a couple buddies that wanted to put one in their backyard.
Yeah.
And until their wife saw the picture of it, and they're like, oh no, well, they're not grilling girls, right? That's all. The guys want them, but the girls, they put their foot down. But it's cool stuff. It's really cool stuff. So, Tim, tell me about it. You got a really nice buck the opening weekend of bow season, right?
Yeah, opening day, actually.
Oh, and, wow.
That's the nicest rack I've ever gotten. Best one I've seen even to get a shot at in probably over 30 years.
Nice.
So that one really, really was a dandy up there. And he came in, he was rutting already, and they've just been tearing things up there. So
yeah, I noticed his horns were all polished up.
Yeah.
So Conrad was asking you, what do you do with the venison? From a butcher, a man that can do anything with meat, what do you do? Tell us about the cuts that you take to eat as steaks or roasts, and then what do you do with the rest of it?
Well, certainly, camp tradition, you got to eat the heart, right?
Right.
Back
straps. Do you cook it?
Yeah, we do cook it.
Okay.
Yeah. But the steaks out of that, typically, if it's a doe, I'll steak out those back quarters. A buck, I might be more inclined just to turn those into jerky, and then we do a lot of grind, and then make sausages out of the rest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll talk about sausages in a minute. And in the next segment, I want to talk to you about how to treat your venison. Oh, Conrad gave me the 2 minutes. We probably still have time. So warm weather. We're living in this warm weather. What are a couple tips that everybody should know about handling a deer once you've got it down in this warm weather?
So, number one, you want to get that hide off it, get it cooled as quickly as possible. Get it hung. Don't be afraid to get some cold water on there to cool that carcass down quickly. Just make sure you pat it dry. If it's hanging head down, don't let the water settle in that chest cavity. Take paper towel, sop it up. And then give it a few hours. If it's going to be really warm, like we got this weekend, maybe let it hang at least overnight. Chunk it out, get it in a cooler, let it cool properly. Don't take the meat and just throw it as it's warm in a plastic bag. It'll sour. You'll end up throwing the whole thing away.
Right, exactly. That's some great tips, because you don't want to lose that venison. They're hard to get.
Absolutely.
Right?
$10,000 a pound.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had Alan Bobbs on last weekend. He was talking about a tree stand. It's called a swing. And I asked him off air. I said, man, I'd really like one of those, till he told me it was $600 to get yourself outfitted. And I'm like, man, that adds to the pound cost, doesn't it? Yeah. But you got to have things to do. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to take a trip down Meat Case Lane. You're going to love this. Every time I get a chance to spend time with Tim, we do this. So stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
I'm a deer hunter, how do you do? I got the deer hunting rapping tale for you. I'm so excited, it's my favorite time of year. I love to feast my bonds, chasing trophy deer.
Welcome back, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Barbecue Bob is up at deer camp, and sitting in with me, is the one and only Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. So glad to have you here, Tim.
Great to be here. And real quick, on behalf of, as a Jethro listener myself, I think this is the perfect fit for the Grilling Guys this station, so welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here. I know you've got a show as well that you contribute to, the Polka Pops, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to have your polkas.
Right. Yeah, last weekend was a big weekend for that with Pulaski Days in town.
Still giving my liver a rest from that one.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I went out of town for deer camp, but about the same difference, I'm sure. So, Tim, every time I have an opportunity to get you on the show where it's just you and I, I like to do what I call a trip down the meat case. And in your store on Remembrance Road on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, you've got, I've never measured it, but I'm going to say 60, 70 feet of meat case down through there.
Yep.
The best meat store in West Michigan, if not Michigan. And there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff. So we start down there on the end by your office.
Yep.
And that's the beef section. I probably spend most of my time there. And the other end, when we'll get to that. But that beef section, tell me about the four or five most popular cuts that you've got in the case and why you think they are.
One certainly would be a ribeye.
Right.
A porterhouse. Bone-in sirloin, which not everybody has bone-in sirloin.
Right.
And, of course, this time of year, we're getting into that pot roast time, but still going after those steaks. But the other one is so popular for us is a Sobey Sizzler.
Yeah, so tell me about that.
So that's a specific muscle. They call it the teres major. There's only two on a whole beef. So you got a 1,200-pound animal, you're getting basically 2 pounds of it out of that whole animal.
Wow.
So they're a little bit hard to get to, and we sell a ton of them. So they're a great cut. Along with those, the other bone-in steaks, and we've talked about this before, we have what's known as American Wagyu, is basically a half-breed Wagyu beef.
Right.
So it's not the exorbitant price of purebred Wagyu, but it still has the qualities of fat, flavor, tenderness, all that stuff.
Right.
It
wonderful really marbling. Special.
Yeah.
Tender.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that ribeye, that's very marbled piece of meat as well. And if you're new to the Grilling Guys, welcome. But marbling equals moisture and flavor.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So you get really moist steaks when you've got a lot of marbling. And that marbling is the veins of fat, if you will, that are in there. And you sear them up and then cook them slow, and that stuff is just, oh, so good. My mouth's watering just talking about it. The porterhouse, as I understand it, is a New York strip on one side and a piece of the filet on the other.
Correct.
Right? And a bone down the middle.
Yep.
That is the perfect steak for my family. And let me tell you why. Because my wife, Lisa, doesn't eat big steaks, right? She just a petite little thing, and she doesn't have a huge appetite. Myself, I like a big hunk of meat. So you get one of those porterhouses, you got that New York strip side, which is two or three times as big as the filet side, and then the bone in the middle goes to the dog.
Yeah.
And so it's a perfect family steak for me. You know, you can cook those up medium rare. They're cut nice inch thick in your meat counter, and oh man, I can't pass them up when I get there.
The other bonus we have is off that local beef, because we break those down ourselves. So a true porterhouse will have a tail on it.
Right.
So most of the big box stores, that tail's removed. It's actually a piece getting into the flank part of the animal. It's a little bit chewy, but it is packed full of flavor.
Yes, it is.
So you're right on that porterhouse. You're almost getting three different cuts.
Right.
The tail being way flavorful, a little bit chewy. The New York strip is a blend of both. And then the filet isn't the most flavorful, but it is certainly the most tender.
Oh, yeah. So you might have heard that I didn't mention there were three cuts. There were only two, because that tail always ends up on my board.
Yeah.
And that don't get to the table. I got to eat it if I'm cooking it, right?
That's
gotta
right.
You got to make sure it's ready to go.
Yes.
And yeah, because you're right. That is a very, very flavorful piece. And I'll take it off of there and eat it while I'm cooking the rest
Snitch.
Of it. You know, yeah. that's it. So tri-tips. Tell me about a tri-tip. They seem to be popular. Where are they from on the animal, and why do you think that people gravitate to these things?
So they're off part of the sirloin, and it's a cut. Actually, they started out in California and took several years. It finally worked its way this way. They're a great all-around cut of meat. So there again, that's a specific muscle, and they're flavorful, they're tender. And you cook that whole piece if you want. You can cut it into sizzlers, but we always do it as a whole chunk, and then we'll slice off that to serve it up.
Right.
Any leftovers, don't ever try doing this. But we'll take garlic bread, and we have a garlic cheddar cheese that will melt on top of that. We'll take those thin pieces of tri-tip, and we'll put those on there, make a little beef Sammy.
Oh,
it is horrible.
Yeah,
it is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, what can be wrong with garlic cheese and beef tri-tip? Well, nothing.
And you sop eat it on, up the drippings.
Right, yeah. And you eat it on garlic bread.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My. Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that's gotten to be kind of a deer camp tradition, because even if we come in out of the field, you can probably get one of those done in probably 20 to 30 minutes easily.
Right.
And it's ready to go. So it doesn't take a long time, but they're just so delicious.
And you're cooking them on a grill.
Yeah.
Right?
Grill, or we've done where potentially we got into the dipsy doodles a little too early.
Right, right.
And I'll say I did it like a prime rib, where I just put digital thermometer in it, put it in a 250 oven.
Right.
And now we'll get it to a good medium rare, and it might only take 20, 25 minutes like that.
Okay. So what you just heard was some very good advice, but I want to pick out one thing from that. And that is the digital thermometer. Okay, if I could give you one piece of advice only about cooking meat on the grill, it is use a thermometer. Okay, because overdone meat is close to ruined meat. You can salvage it, but if it's overdone and it's overcooked, and you're a medium rare guy like my friend Tim and I are, you don't want it overdone. And the key to that is pulling it off 4 or 5 degrees below where you want it. Tim, medium rare on a piece of meat like that, what are you going to take it to?
For me, I only take it to about 125.
Right.
If it was me myself, I'd do it 120 and go to 125.
Right.
For Teresa and most of the gals, just a few degrees more. So we'll cook it to 125. It'll end up about 130.
Yeah. So what you're hearing there is when you pull it off the grill, the heat continues to escalate.
Yep.
And that's a natural thing, because the piece of meat is hot, and it has to get hotter before it starts to cool. It's just the physics of the piece of meat. So if you're trying to get to that perfect 125, as Tim said, pull it off at 120. You want your meat to rest anyway, right? Because if you take it off as soon as you take it off the grill, you're going to lose all the juices, because they've come to the surface when that heat is there, and as it starts to cool, they draw back in a little bit, right?
Yep. Now, Tim's tip of the day, though, when you go to slice that, if you're in a hurry to eat and you slice it and those drippings go on the platter, that's where the garlic bread comes in. You sop the juices up, and then nothing's wasted.
Right. Yeah, it's all about efficiency
when
you're eating, right? But so you've got your camp up near Irons, Michigan, and you went up the first weekend and bagged your buck. That was cool. And I'm sure you've got more trips coming up. And so in the next segment, I want to talk about some of the other meats that you might take with you. We'll get to the meat sticks and jerky and that stuff. But I was in there last week before I went down to Shartucky and bought a bunch of stuff to go. And you had some chickens in there that I swear were 6 or 7 pounds apiece.
That's exactly
big
right.
Big roasters.
Yep.
And so I want to talk to you a little bit in the next segment about what the benefit is of a big old yard bird versus a little one's, a whole one versus one that's cut up, and why that those things fly out of your meat case, all puns intended. So you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name since 59.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Dirty Point Buck.
Well, he was 8 foot tall, weighed 12,000 pounds. With every step, there was a shaking on the ground.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Tim, I've written this down in two segments, and I forgot about it, so we're going to start with it this time. We were talking off air about the little promotion we'd like to do with the Grilling Guys and Sobey Meats. In that, if you walk into Tim's store on Remembrance Road, and we'll get you the address here in a minute, and you mention that you heard this broadcast on the Grilling Guys, Tim's going to put you in a drawing, right?
Yep. So today is Saturday, so it starts today through next week, Saturday. And say you heard this on the Jethro station.
Right.
And whoever that is, tell them, you know, your name and phone number. You'll be in a drawing to win a $50 Sobey Meat gift card.
Wonderful.
So just something to promote people listening to Jethro and the Grilling Guys.
Wow, that's very generous of you, Tim. Very generous. And that $50 card will buy you a couple steaks, because meat prices are higher than balls on a giraffe right now. Yeah. So but that's nothing that's unique to your shop. That's everywhere. But we'll talk about that in a minute, too. But I want to get back to these big old yard birds, these 6-7 pound whole chickens I saw in your meat case. You just can't get these things everywhere. You got to go to Sobey Meats to get them. Tell me about why you brought them in and what the benefit is of them.
Typically, we'll have, they're actually a 7-9 pound
there you are. Bird. A little big. Bit. Yeah.
Right. So these, we got a special deal on them. And we grabbed, I don't know, 10, 12 cases, took everything they had just to have a good item for our customers to get. The beauty of a bigger bird like that is, and some people may think, oh, yeah, they've got steroids or growth hormones. No, they do not. So that bird gets bigger because it is on the planet longer. And it has a time, it has a chance to actually get some fat on it and taste like a good old chicken.
Right.
So those smaller 3.5-4 pound birds, they're killed a little bit younger. They didn't really have a chance to get that fat going on them. But,
right.
Especially if you roast one whole, I'm telling you, even the breast meat is so juicy and so right. flavorful.
Yep. So they're awesome. give me two or three tips about roasting one of those then.
So if you want to do one on a grill is great. Or if, you know, we got October here, you get that spitting rain, snow afternoon, and you're watching the Lions right. lose again, and you got that bird in the oven, we'll just do an oven roast.
Okay.
And a good 350, I like that skin to crispen up.
Right.
And I use a digital thermometer. As you know, I live and die by them. Put it in the breast meat, and chicken, yes, has to cook to 165. On the bone, I'll run my birds to like 185, maybe even to 190. Then that meat wants to pull off the bone a little bit easier.
Right.
And again, that breast meat still is juicy at that point.
Right. And that, and you get, you know, unfortunately, if you don't know what you're doing, you've cut open a chicken before and you got those bloody joints, right? I mean, because that's where it cooks the last,
yep.
is and slowest, is right down there in those joints. And while it isn't good for you, but it wouldn't kill you, but it's just unappealing.
Right.
Right. So that's why you got to use that digital thermometer again that we're talking about and get it done to that doneness. And again, what Tim just said, that 190, that seems like it's hot for a chicken, but you'll get really crispy skin and it'll be tasty.
Yeah. And it won't dry it all out
right.
either.
Yeah. Yep. So, Tim, tell me why chicken wings are three times the cost of chicken breast.
The old adage, supply and demand.
Yep.
So back years ago, as a young meat cutter and growing up in the big metropolis of Martin, Michigan, you couldn't give chicken wings away. Now the chicken is raised for the wing. Everything else is a byproduct. I've been saying this for 3-4 years now. Sooner or later, people are going to start catching on and cooking drumsticks instead of wings. They're like a quarter the cost. You can still do your favorite wing topping, a rub, a sauce, whatever that is.
Right.
And you can eat 30, 40 of them, you know, and wash it down with a cold brew.
Right.
But do them up different ways, and you're getting a lot more meat, and it's just a great value.
Yeah, it is. And they, it's almost better meat, in my opinion. You're not picking through bones and all the other stuff that are in those wings. But, yeah, you know, I get it. It's one of those things. They got whole restaurants around the damn things, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way that works. So if we're moving down beyond the Yardbird, let's talk about some of that maybe specialty meat that isn't common in the big stores, or certainly it's something that you guys work with. I mean, maybe like a little lamb and some of the other veal, maybe from time to time, and things. Is that readily available? I mean, do you have to search to get that, or can you just find it from your growers and purveyors?
Typically, lamb and veal we have all the time.
Right.
And as I say, BC, before COVID, you know, there was no issues. And manpower is the issue with just about everything right now. And lamb has been one of those. So there have been some shortages with domestic lamb. If you've never tried domestic lamb, I would really encourage you to try it.
Versus like New Zealand?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and some people say, oh, imported lamb. But to me, it's an open range, wild raised creature like that. Domestic lamb has a beefy quality about it. And the legs of lamb and chops, it's almost like you're eating a piece of prime rib.
Wow.
So they're feeding them oats and other things that the meat just comes out so much sweeter and more flavorful. Yes, it's more money, but I'd rather spend more money, eat what really tastes good.
Amen.
You don't even need mint jelly on it. And the mint jelly just covers up.
Camouflages the part from New Zealand that's all real strong tasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And if I wanted to eat mint jelly, I'd get a piece of toast.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't want it on my meat. I get it. So, but that's cool. And people are a little bit afraid of lamb. I tell you, one of my favorite, again, this is deer season. I'm thinking deer camp. For years, I would get lamb chops from you, and we'd marinate them in an olive oil, garlic, some of the other aromatic herbs for 48 hours, and then throw those on our smoking hot grill. And they're and I called them lolly chops.
Yep.
Right. I mean, they're Frenched. They got the bone in them. It's like a 2-bite chop. But oh man, are those good? And I have more guys that said, I hate lamb. I'm like, well, okay, I'll eat yours.
Yeah.
You know, and then they see everybody else just plowing them back. Like, well, I'll try one of those. And like you said, it's a beefier flavor.
Yeah.
There's no strong smell. There's no strong flavor to it. It's just damn good.
Yes.
So if you've not tried lamb chops, simple recipe. You look up a marinade, a lamb marinade. They're on the internet. I don't have any secret to it. But they're olive oil based, lots of garlic, you know, rosemary, thyme, that kind of stuff. Submerge those in a Ziploc bag. Let them set in your fridge for a day or two. Won't hurt them at all. Let them warm up. Get a lot of that oil off because you don't want the flash-ups on your grill. But set them on a plate for an hour and then grill them quick. You need a minute on either side, yeah, maybe, and then they're just wonderful.
Hot, fast, and ready to go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, I married one of those. But oh, crud. But anyway, so the veal, where is people? I think that's a very overlooked meat, which is veal translates to young steer.
Yeah,
right.
And it's actually the cleanest meat there is, because every veal is 100% tested to make sure there's nothing in it. Okay, and it's a real small window, and just like babies when they're born, they get antibiotics to start them out with to get them going. They might do that with a calf. But if they get over 200 pounds, then they're considered a feeder,
right,
and they're no longer veal. So it's a small window, get them big enough, their system is cleaned out.
Well, they're like born at 100, too. So, yeah, that is a small window.
It's a very small window, but they're very, very succulent to eat. And there were horror stories of how they used to raise them in the past. That does not happen.
Right.
And it's just a real fine thing to get a hold of. So the taste is beautiful on them. If you've never tried them, give that a try too.
Right.
So just beautiful baby beef is what it is.
Yeah, and it's so tender. I mean, yeah. Fork tender. You just it's just wonderful. So you mentioned pot roast. Okay, that brings back cringes in my world because my mom used to make it in a pressure cooker. And it was burned on one side, and then she'd flip it over and burned on the other. Bless her heart, man. I grew up healthy.
Yeah.
But it was something that I just wasn't my favorite meal. Now, I love it. And but what would be your recommendation on cooking a pot roast?
I'll usually not burn it on both sides, right. But yeah. Give it a good sear.
Right.
And I always season, Tim's Blend. That's my go-to.
Right.
And so I'll give it a good sear to keep those juices inside. Then whatever you want to throw in, which there's the beauty of the pot roast, is carrots, onions, celery, potatoes, throwing it all together and let it cook low and slow. And,
right.
And basically want to fall apart.
Some sort of covered pot or a Dutch oven, yeah. Or something like that.
Yep. The crock pot, whatever that is.
Right. Yep.
And the chuck, to me, is the go-to pot roast. That's the best.
Right.
You can get a round bone or a boneless English cut is a little bit leaner.
Right.
But that stringy, good beefy taste in chuck roast, hard
yeah,
to beat.
just brown,
yep.
Is all I can think of. It's just this wonderful brown color. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to go to my favorite end of the meat counter, and that's where the jerkies and the other good tasty cured meat sticks are. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. At SobeyMeats.com.
You got to listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys. Barbecue Bob is at Bow Camp somewhere in northern Michigan. And joining me again is the one and only Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Tim, so appreciative of you making time. This is a busy time of year with all the tailgating and the hunting camps and grinding up people's deer for them and all the other wonderful stuff that you do. But we've been running down your meat counter. We skipped pork. So I want to. That's an important part of every grilling guy's repertoire. So let's spend a few minutes on pork, and then we'll close out with the jerkies and the sausages and the meat sticks. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay.
So you know our local pork of choice is Red Wattle pork,
right?
And they call an old heirloom breed. So back in the day, pork, the other white meat, they bred the fat out of it and made just a solid, lean pork loin or pork chop. And got rid of the flavor of it. So this
right.
is a good old heirloom breed that has fat in it, has marbling and flavor. So that's
right.
that's our local pork. And when you're grilling and doing tailgaters, how can you not like doing ribs, right?
Right, exactly.
But another thing to consider is we could do a bone-in, we'll call it, instead of like a standing beef roast, a standing pork roast.
Right, and that's the loin with the ribs attached,
yep,
right?
Yep. So even for a presentation, we could take that and leave the bones, French those out just a little bit and cook that loin on your smoker, your grill, whatever you're going to do it on. And then when you go to serve it, still slice between the bones and make it look nice. Right.
You've done that for me. The holidays are right around the corner with the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday. They'll be on us before we know it. Heck, we're in mid-October already. You've done that for me multiple times where you'll actually make that crown roast and it's a whole loin, or depending on the size, it could even be two of them.
Yep.
Right. That you truss together for me, and then you put a bunch of stuffing in the middle of it, and it's a slow cook.
Yeah.
Right. Because you got to get that stuffing cooked, and you want that meat done. Pork. What do we take our pork to as far as temperature wise?
Temperature actually you can cook 2 degrees less than beef.
Right.
So even USDA standards, you can cook it to 145.
Right.
So it's a little bit on a medium rarer side.
Right.
So there again, like with a chop, I'll cook mine maybe to a 145, let it rest a few minutes, it'll go to like a 150.
Right.
So that still stays juicy when you're going to eat it.
Absolutely.
It's not overdone and comes out really, really nice. If somebody's thinking, well, I don't want bloody pork on the plate, and I get that.
Right.
It's hardly going to be pink at 150, at right. 150 to even 155.
Right, but it's still going to be moist and juicy.
Yes.
And you know, this is one of the things that if you've not shopped at a custom butcher shop like Sobey Meats, you have the ability to walk in and they'll help you make an average meal a fantastic meal. And that's where the difference is. For me, I don't cook with a lot of quantity. I cook with a ton of quality. And that's the difference, is that I can go and I talk to Tim, and he's got a myriad of cutters back there. If Tim's not there, there is 20 other people that are knowledgeable about what to do. And you tell them what you're doing, you tell the kind of party you want to have, and they'll make suggestions just like that. And, you know, you may have to come back tomorrow to get it, right? Because they're going to put some special love and attention to that crown roast especially. But, boy, you pull that out of the oven or off the smoker, when it is impressive, and it's wonderful. And they'll help you with, you know, I think the last one you did for me, you even seasoned it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It yep. came ready to cook for me. Now, you can't get that anywhere else but a custom butcher shop, and that's the pure advantage of doing that. Another thing that's a pure advantage of the custom butcher shop is the sausages, the meat sticks, and the jerkies. This is the cash register end of the meat counter, where the other end was his office is on one end. But this is my favorite part of the meat counter, just because it's grab-and-go food. I mean, Conrad, you brought Conrad three or four different kinds of that when you walked in today. His eyes lit up. I hadn't seen him that happy since I gave him a $100 bill. So, but anyway, so tell us a little bit about the varieties that you've got there in the case, because it's unmatched in my mind.
The varieties of meat sticks, we have like probably about 12 different flavors, which
right.
Even for small markets like ourselves, that's quite a pretty good variety of flavors.
Right.
And as I would say, listen to the customer, they'll tell you what they want. So something milder like a hunter stick, a honey barbecue, and we have a couple other ones like that, to something made along the medium line, like medium with cheese, hot with cheese. We have the Parkside hot stick.
Right.
Our hottest one is the fire stick.
Right.
And we do a couple of them in turkey. So even for gals and guys, maybe you're just trying to eat more meat and less carbs and everything else.
Right.
And the turkey is a great way to go. Teriyaki and honey barbecue, it's
right.
They're just killer.
That medium with cheese, I took 5 pounds down to camp last weekend, and they were gone. When it is, you know, you put them out there, if I cut them up in little pieces, they're eating them by the handful. If I just put the sticks out there, then they grab a couple sticks, right? And they'll go and they'll come back a couple times. They're that dang good. That's my favorite, the medium with cheese. It's just got a little bit of bite, not much, but it's got cheese in it. And I remember you telling me a story about that the purists that make meat sticks says you can't put cheese in meat, but thousands of pounds a week go out your door. So I'm thinking they were wrong, right?
And all my customers are wrong, too. As he said, cheese doesn't belong in sausage. I'm like, okay, I don't know that, and my customers don't know it, because we sell a boatload every week. And for giggles sometimes, just try, take one and put it in the microwave for just a few seconds.
Right.
Warms it up, and it tastes like it just came out of the smoker.
Right. So tell me, that is, my mouth's watering again. Tell me about that little breakfast thing you make with the maple.
Yeah,
oh,
our little smokies with cheese.
Oh.
And we use our local farms, Cordis Farms. We put maple syrup in there. So with the Wisconsin cheddar and the maple in there. So not only are they good as a meat stick, but they're actually designed as like a breakfast link, you know, for breakfast. And then the other thing we'll do sometimes is, when we were growing up, the original pig in a blanket was that little smoked sausage in biscuit dough.
Ooh.
And then bake them in like the Grand's biscuit and wrap them in there, and they take about 12 minutes. And oh my gosh, we've done that sometimes. Teresa and I for supper was just the sausage with a biscuit.
Right. And what are those called in the meat case if somebody wanted to come by and get them?
Smokies with cheese.
Smokies with cheese. I tell you what, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing. I didn't do breakfast down for the guys. That was just a Saturday night party at deer camp. There was just a couple of us around on Sunday. So
good,
I didn't
deer
grab
camp thing too, because right. even if you're playing cards and you got a late night, warm that sausage up, put right. the biscuit in there, you know, that's do it on the grill.
Right.
That's okay,
yep.
too.
So talk to me about jerky. You've got one that's called barbiyaki.
Yeah.
And wasn't that a kind of an oops to begin with, and now it's become a staple?
Yeah, that's I always say is Teresa's second best mistake she ever made. So her first one was marrying me, but yeah. that's another story. So her second best one, years ago, we were getting jerky made, and they had some as teriyaki and some as barbecue. And she said, I screwed it up. When I went to put it in the smoker, it was going to be teriyaki, and she put barbecue seasoning on top. And we were running so doggone far behind schedule. I said, well, smoke it. We don't have time to wait. And it came out. And as we would do very often at that time, people didn't know what we were, and we give away samples. And a customer came in and trying to, well, I want that. What do you call it? And everybody looked at me like, what do we call this thing? I'm like, well, it's barbecue. It's barbiyaki. And we got a kick out of it. Well, then a few days later, he came back. He said, I want to get some more of that.
Right.
And we started on a regular basis with that story nonetheless. And that's one of our top sellers of jerky.
Yeah. So if people want to come to the market, tell us where it is.
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Okay.
And it's a great place. Walker is a wonderful, wonderful town to be
right.
around.
Right, and you've been there since you started. I mean, you moved into the new building, but you've been in that area.
Yeah, actually, 10 years this month is our anniversary in this building. So
right.
it's been great.
How awesome. And you've grown and grown and grown. And you know, the thing I like most about Sobey Meats, other than the meat, and is the people. Tim, you've surrounded yourself with some wonderful people. It's the challenge for small businesses right now to get people. But the thing I like most about your store is there's a little bell on right by the door. And when I walk out and I've had just another great experience, you reach over and you ring that bell and everybody in your shop stops and says, thank you. That's leadership.
Yeah.
That is just making your customer feel special when you walk out. And not everybody does it because everybody doesn't know about it. But anyway, let's talk about that special one more time that you're offering the Grilling Guys listeners.
All righty. Well, today is Saturday. So today through next week, Saturday, stop in the shop. Tell them whoever is there, give them your name and phone number. Tell them you heard about the Grilling Guys on the Jethro station. We're going to put you in a drawing for a $50 Sobey Meat gift card.
That's
good
right.
luck.
And all you got to do is put your phone number in there, and they'll give you a call, and you'll be able to come in and get sample of all this wonderful stuff we've been talking about for the last hour.
And you will not be put on any kind of a list. So
no.
Please don't be afraid about that.
Right.
I don't believe in that.
Right, exactly. And you just heard that from the horse's mouth,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. The bull's mouth.
Doesn't sell any horse. That's right, yeah. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on Jethro. We really appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, if you're getting up in a tree, be safe. Don't fall out. Strap yourself in. And just have a great time. And if you get a chance, get over to Sobey Meats and get yourself some supplies before you go. Tim, it's a pleasure. Thanks for spending time.
Thank you very much. Take care.